WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Darryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. Chief of Inpatient Psychiatry at Tufts Medical Center, Dr. Michelle de Blasi. Welcome to The Common.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Yes, indeed. Thank you so much for coming through to The Common. Dr. de Blasi, I enjoy fall and winter, but those can be very tough seasons for a lot of people when it comes to mental health. The days get shorter and colder, and there aren't as many outdoor activities and events. And if you're somebody who's new to the region, like myself, your friends and your family may not be as close, right? So hopping over to their house to maybe catch a game or just have some company isn't really an option, right? So I'm curious to know, just how soon could the change in season start to impact someone's mental health?
Yeah, so I think now, actually, this is kind of perfect timing to be talking about this, because it really does start to be around this time, you know, middle of October, early November, where people are going to start to feel maybe some sort of winter blues or some even real depression starting to kick in. Because we know, you know, seasonal affective disorder, this is the time of the year that people are typically starting to feel impacted by this.
I feel like it can kind of sneak up on you, right? I feel like I'm kind of going through some of this where I don't feel as motivated and I do feel a little more down and sluggish, you know. What are some warning signs that people should look out for?
Yeah, so I think the biggest things are, you know, starting to feel kind of more down, more sluggish, maybe oversleeping, overeating or eating less, and even having changes kind of in your personality, like feeling more like irritable and anxious, having trouble focusing. Those are sort of the big things that you want to look out for.
And, you know, like I said before, being new to an area can play a part in that because you're away from your support system, right? Your family and your friends. What advice do you have for people who are new to the region, getting through their first bout of fall and winter here?
Yeah, so I think my best advice to people is to really try to stay socially connected, especially if you're new to the area. You know, keeping in touch with old friends and family, and then maybe starting to make new friends in the area. Really making a conscious effort to stay socially connected, because I think in the winter time, especially, it's easy to kind of become like isolated, which can kind of lead to possibly feeling more down. So it's very important to stay connected.
What are some things people can do to take care of themselves daily to get through, you know, that cold weather sadness?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing actually comes down to the basics that people really don't usually put much thought into it. You know, coming down to having good sleep hygiene, which basically means making sure you're unwinding before bedtime, you know, getting restful sleep at night, and then, you know, eating healthily, because oftentimes we forget those sort of basic things that really have a large impact on our mood. And then, of course, doing things to help you relax, like I said, whether that's exercising, doing meditation, listening to music, listening to a radio show, you know, whatever makes you feel good.
That exercise can go a long way, right?
Definitely.
As more people are indoors, that means in today's time, you're probably in front of a screen more, right? Can you talk about how people should be thinking about their time in front of the screen, whether it be, you know, you're watching television or maybe you're on social media? How should people be thinking about those things?
Yeah, so I think in terms of screen time, you know, you really want to try to avoid, you know, watching screens at least like an hour before bedtime, because we know there's like this what's called blue light that gets emitted from the screens that can really have a negative impact on helping us to get a restful sleep. So just being careful about the timing and also trying to minimize screens so you're not, you know, not watching screens, you know, hours on end during the daytime. You know, so just trying to mix it up as well.
We're going to take a break, but we'll be right back. Hey, it's Darryl. I have a favor to ask. We are working on an episode about the return of student loan payments, and we want to know how that's affecting your finances. Have you had to cut back somewhere in your budget? Are you saving less? Or is it just another monthly payment that maybe it's annoying, but not very disruptive? Let us know. Please send a voice memo that includes your name and where you're from to our Instagram at WBURTheCommon. You could also send it via email to thecommon@wbur.org. Thanks.
Politics has never been stranger or more online, which is why the politics team at Wired is making a new show, Wired Politics Lab. It's all about how to navigate the endless stream of news and information and what to look out for. Each week on the show, we'll dig into far-right platforms, AI chatbots, influencer campaigns, and so much more. Wired Politics Lab launches Thursday, April 11th. Follow the show wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back with more from Dr. Michelle de Blasio. When should someone look for help? Sometimes these feelings creep up on us and we're just way too deep in it before we even realize it, you know? When is it time for someone to reach out?
Yeah, so I think the time to reach out for help is when you're feeling like, you know, you just can't seem to get out of that funk. You're feeling down. You're starting to feel hopeless. You really just can't seem to get out of it. And also, certainly, if you're having any thoughts, you know, to end your life at all, you absolutely need to reach out right away for help. You know, there are plenty of resources, you know, the emergency department, also the National Suicide Hotline 988 that people can call to get help right away, especially in a crisis.
And, you know, speaking of help, there's therapy, but finding a therapist can be difficult. What alternatives would you offer somebody who may not have a therapist or who may be having trouble finding one?
Yeah, I think it's really tough out there because there just really aren't enough resources for people. But I would certainly, you know, recommend if you do have, like, for example, a primary care doctor, or if you're connected to like a community health center, to start there by really any provider that you have access to ask them, you know, how they, if they are affiliated with any sort of therapist or can help them connect to like some form of therapist. I think that's usually my best bet. And then obviously, you know, leaning on close friends and family to talk about some issues, because sometimes it helps, to be honest, just getting things off your chest and just talking about what's going on.
What do you think about tools like, say, sad lamps, for example? Can you suggest any tools that could be useful to folks?
Yeah, so definitely. So for seasonal affective disorder, they do, you know, have lamps. They're called light boxes that you can actually buy, you know, online or in stores. What it is it basically gives you LED light, you know, usually about 30 minutes a day. I would recommend using it, and in the morning, right when you wake up. And so basically what it does is it kind of resets your circadian rhythm, which is your body's 24-hour clock, to kind of give you more energy and to kind of help you to get out of the sort of depression.
Another thing to think about as we're heading into these colder months, there's the risk of sickness. You have flu, RSV, COVID. How does this impact people's mental health? And what are some ways they can protect themselves mentally?
Yeah, so I mean, I think the best thing is to try to just prevent it as best as you can. You know, I certainly always recommend doing anything you can do to help prevent you from getting sick. So whether that's getting your flu shot, you know, your COVID vaccine, and then, you know, just keeping a really nice routine, getting a good night's sleep, eating well, making time to connect with people, just doing anything you can to kind of prevent slipping into sort of that isolation that can often happen in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm. And I guess that paranoia, you know, when you step outside the house, this is it, I'm going to get sick, you know? Do you run into that in your work?
Yeah, I do think that sometimes people, especially people who tend to be kind of more anxious, kind of can get, you know, worried about that. But I do encourage people to make sure that as long as you're usually using good judgment, that they really should just still try to connect socially with other people.
Mm-hmm. Because all that paranoia can just lead to more isolation, right?
Exactly.
And finally, you know, the news cycle can just be brutal, right? There's a lot of conflicts in the world, natural disasters. Do you have any tips on how to manage the negative feelings that may come up when taking in, you know, the state of the world?
Yeah, you know, I think I start by just reassuring people that it's okay to have normal emotions to this, whether it's anger, sadness, fear, you know, accepting that that's how you're feeling about it. But I think if you start to feel like those feelings are sort of creeping into your whole life or you're constantly worrying about things, that's really when you need to reach out for professional mental health help.
Dr. de Blasi, thank you so much for coming through to The Common and talking to us about this. We really, really appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me.
That's Chief of Inpatient Psychiatry at Tufts Medical Center, Dr. Michelle de Blasi. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. And please remember, if you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health crisis, the National Mental Health Hotline is 988, and the Massachusetts Helpline, which you can call or text, is 833-773-2445. That's 833-773-2445. And now it's that time for me to let you know that The Common is produced by Caitlin Harrop and Franny Monahan. It's mixed by Emily Jankowski, Matt Reed, and Paul Vitkus. And it's edited by Samantha Joshi and Ben Brock Johnson. And our theme music is Me by Hisu. And from the newsroom of WBUR, I'm your host, Daryl C. Murphy. I'll talk to you soon.